Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
We defined accelerationism on our last episode, and now we're going to apply this concept to the current 2020 election between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. The concept of accelerationism ties into the concept of harm reduction, and we're going to kind of disambiguate the two terms and define a little bit about why one has a little bit of a different application in the context of a direct election. So the classic example between Trump and Biden is that you should vote for Biden because he will reduce harm. This is different than voting for Donald Trump to accelerate a given outcome. But they're kind of premised along the same line of thinking, which is we're trying to maximize or minimize some intentional outcome.
General idea is that Biden, since this is an election episode, voting for him would be some sort of harm reduction overall, because what we're perceiving as character flaws in Donald Trump is actually some sort of attack on institutions. This is true if you look at the EPA. This is true if you take a look at the rollbacks he's done with Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, you want to call it. This is true about the digging in, you know, some of our national parks we keep talking about, or quote unquote, the dismantling of the post office, which actually isn't really as bad as you think it is. It's mostly Democrats' fault for this, for not actually championing it. We're seeing this as the sort of violence that's been upticking with fascism and racism and all that. But the real question is whether or not Biden will actually reduce harm. And so what we've seen so far from Donald Trump is that he, yes, has waged war with Yemen through Saudi Arabia, but he has not actually done much other military operations around the world. So if we talk about harm reductionism, would a Biden administration not go to war? And the question is, I don't know. Because if you look at Hillary Clinton in the past, you look at how Biden for 8 years under Obama killed thousands and thousands of children in Afghanistan and Iraq. I don't know if from the international point of view from war, if whether or not Biden is a harm reduction. Because what if Biden chooses Dick Cheney as Secretary of State or goes back to the war criminal Colin Powell? Right, then we're no better off than we were before under Bush. Or if he names, just like Obama did, a very conservative Department of Education person. Are we anywhere better than we are right now with DeVos? And I don't know if that really will be a harm reduction. Because I don't know if individuals beyond the economy dropping off are seeing that much harm from a Donald Trump administration that is being perceived by the media that they didn't see under Clinton or Bush or Obama. Because under Bush, we had a major meltdown at the end of his term after we had a terrorist attack and wars. We saw under Obama a stagnated bullshit recovery because of neoliberalism where people suffered for a very long time. We're seeing now under Trump that same sort of reduction in the economy for the worker, but not for the Wall Street because we keep pumping money into it. So in the end of the day, I mean, what really is harm reduction? Or how would you define the reduction in harm by voting for one or the other?
I think it's unfair to characterize certain aspects of this in terms of like anticipated policy. So, for example, Biden is absolutely better on LGBTQIA issues than any past presidential candidate ever. So in that regard, Biden is doing a good, but how do you weigh that against war crimes in other countries and killing of children? And I don't have the answer to that. I don't think any of us do. And that's kind of what the exercise of voting is, kind of everybody collectively saying, well, I value this and I value this and I value this. But the major problem currently is that there's very little to be excited about for either of these candidates. I mean, especially Trump, because he literally offers nothing. But Trump's willing to lie about what he is offering, which appeals to a certain demographic, whereas Biden seems content to just trying to not die for the next 60 days.
Let's go back to then, I guess, definitions of what harm reductionism is. It's important to remember that it comes from your point of view or from somebody's point of view. One example is Biden's positions on LGBTQIA+, which is actually a very formed and formal set of doctrine that he's prescribing where everybody is actually equal under the law, which is different than Trump, in which he wants to hit them all in the head with a brick or round them all up or whatever it happens to be, but a very racist, fascist sort of mentality when it comes to just pure hatred for someone that's different. And that's the counter to harm reductionism. But if you are someone from, let's say, a rural America in which you're seeing your way of life is changing through mechanization of farmland and you're seeing your children needing to go away to college and being radicalized by the left, I guess, and not coming back to church, not coming back to run the farm, then your harm reductionism comes in and says Trump's a better candidate because he's going to protect us. And then let's talk about the idea of you're the worker. The only party right now that's talking about worker or what the future of worker means is the Trump campaign, the GOP. I mean, Biden's been spending all his time talking about law and order. Recently, I've seen some videos from Biden saying that, you know, he's going to put the worker first, not corporations, yet he's taking tons of corporate money. I don't see how he could be that way. But then again, harm reduction is from a worker or from a rural worker, Rust Belt, Michigan, Rust Belt, Illinois, Rust Belt, Indiana, or even the southern areas, South Carolina manufacturing, Florida manufacturing, all those areas. You're going to come in and say, Trump is better for me because Trump promises to keep my jobs here in the United States, which is probably one of the only coherent plans that we've seen so far from any candidate.
And it's not necessarily even being about a good plan. It's about what you can sell to your voters. And from certain points of view, certain candidates appeal to you for whatever reason. Like, we're not dictating, like, this is a good plan and you should like this plan in the context of harm reduction. It's people perceive that X is less than Y, and they make a decision based on that premise. If I do this, then this will happen. Now, it gets a little bit more fuzzy when you start speculating about stuff like, well, Biden's entire foreign policy history kind of leads down the path of war in the Middle East, whereas Trump has not engaged in a full-scale war. I mean, he's bombed and committed war crimes in Iraq and killed civilians, but not to the scale that perhaps Joe Biden's foreign policy has. So that requires a little bit more of a projection of what do you think will happen down the road. And that makes it a little bit more challenging to assess harm reduction in terms of how you're going to vote when you're faced with a very discrete reality of I'm a worker and I need help versus I'm a worker and I need help, I need food, and I'm having trouble paying my rent, and I really don't have time to care about what's going on in the Middle East because it doesn't immediately affect me. So it's all based on sort of your perception of harm, and it's based on sort of your material conditions.
That's the important part, is material conditions. The politics is really, really only beneficial for the, I guess, the petite bourgeois who can actually pay to play, or the capitalists themselves. I mean, we see a defensive posturing when it comes to the worker and the poor who need to get out the vote and knock on doors and basically trade their labor for what they consider to be political capital, because they don't have money to donate. They only have time. And this is the important distinction between the campaigns. Right now, we're seeing a ton of energy on the Trump side and not so much on the Biden side. And that's because Trump is appealing to their base. Now, whether or not you agree with that appealing to the base or not, and the harm reductionist idea, Biden's campaign doesn't necessarily have a coherent message to get the vote out with their people. And that is particularly because Trump has had 4 years to push his message, and Biden's had about, what, 6 weeks? Eight weeks? He just now took the nomination. So harm reduction itself is coming from the angle of who it is. Now, from the workers' point of view, harm reduction for us is the person who's going to put workers first. But I have not seen from anybody yet, are we going to get union cards? I have not seen universal health care coverage. I have not seen defunding the police because they only do broken windows crimes. I have not seen reduction in troops overseas to bring those people back and actually work within the United States. I haven't seen removing educational debt or increasing trade anywhere. I have not seen a transportation bill or a infrastructure bill anywhere. I have not seen anything from the workers' point of view, better retirement, holding things accountable at the bank level. I have not seen anything from either candidate that actually talks about the worker. It has just been platitudes. I love the worker, worker this, worker that, but not actually anything of substance. So from harm reduction point of view, neither candidate is actually harm reduction. Now, from a personal point of view, swallowing the shit and voting for Biden may be the best for me because I don't believe in fascism and I don't believe in some of the stuff Trump's doing. But at the end of the day, Biden has 30 years or more of being a neoliberal who has supported wars, supported corporate takeovers of our institutions, has not been a champion of any type of anything. What's he a champion of? I don't know.
So, right, we're talking about harm reduction because neither candidate is actually good. Like, we can't conclude that there's going to be a net positive in aggregate at the kind of world level. Let's talk a little bit more about this harm reduction choice and how, when presented with two bad options, how might you go about choosing one or the other? And we're going to tie this back to accelerationism a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about healthcare. This is the example we always like to use because it's very obvious and kind of understandable. So Joe Biden has been advocating for these dog shit neoliberal healthcare policies. He did it during Obama's term and he's done it well before that. So hypothetically, let's just propose a scenario based on healthcare. And we're going to use the actual statistical number that roughly 70,000 people die each year in the United States from lack of access to healthcare. So under Joe's plan, which so far as I can tell is just sort of a perpetuation of the current state, we want to, you know, make Obamacare better, whatever that means. It's just perpetuation. So we can kind of reasonably predict that 70,000 people will die again next year because that's how many died last year under sort of the same system. And yes, Trump is cruel and he's doing needlessly damaging things to the healthcare system in an effort to sort of destroy Obamacare because that's what the Republicans care about. So Biden, dog shit neoliberal perpetuation of the existing system. 70,000 people die every year. He has no plan to kind of alter that calculus. So Trump, he wants to destroy Obamacare. Politically, for whatever reason, he's an idiot. So we're going to project that under his kind of plan, you're going to have those same 70,000 people die every year, plus whatever amount occurs as a result of him kind of proactively making the system worse. Given those two choices, which actually reduces harm? Can we say that Biden's plan for healthcare is harm reduction?
No, because we can't characterize the effects of the destabilization. And this is the main problem with advancing acceleration's point of view. If you're going to do a basic outcomes analysis of A versus B, the outcomes need to be quantifiable. You cannot and should not engage in accelerationism until you can assure outcomes, and this means having that backup plan. So by engaging accelerationism, this creates a power vacuum, and the power vacuum will be filled by whoever seizes power. And this is the exact issue that you're seeing when we went and destabilized other countries. Those in power will seek power and fill that power vacuum in. And so you can only want to engage if you can and you know what the power is and what the power structures will be. In the healthcare example, choosing Trump under accelerationism premises some big bang event that positively changes the system after destabilization. But it's difficult to quantify the effects of the destabilization and the effects of whatever steady state results. So in this case, we can vote for Trump to destabilize the healthcare industry and cripple it. But if we don't have the plan in place, we don't have the people in place, we don't know what's going to happen next. And so again, the only acceptable time in which to take an accelerator's position is when you can ensure you know what will be erected or created after it's been destroyed. You don't tear something down without a plan to rebuild, and if you do that, then you're going to have terrible consequences. So you need to have a Trojan horse that's already in place. You need to have people that are ready to go. You can't just have one AOC sitting in the house by herself in the corner hoping that she gets nothing done because she's not getting anything done because she has no allies. And this is why we've been championing local first, because we have to build that base up to get there.
So in the healthcare example, if Trump were to do something and it were to result in 4 million people dying because of destabilization, like, that's a bad outcome. And that's arguably worse than having 70,000 people die each year under Joe Biden's plan. But we don't know how many people are going to die each year. It's a prediction. And is it going to be 4 million? I have no idea. It's just a completely arbitrary number. But it's very difficult to do these outcome-based analysis when you don't have anything to predicate kind of your expectations on. So with Biden, you know, we're predicting that 70,000 die every year. But, I mean, is that realistic? We have no idea. So there's these two things that are completely uncomparable. And taking two things and trying to compare them is very difficult. And it doesn't really render itself useful in deciding which outcome is better because both are so uncertain. So really the only thing we can say is some measure of how uncertain we are about each one of them. So with Biden, we might have some longer track record. He's been a senator for 40 years. We kind of generally know what his tendencies are, and they're neoliberal. Trump might be more of a wild card. He might have tendencies to do authoritarian fascist shit. That's kind of been borne out in his you know, 3.5-year term so far. So assessing the harm reduction likelihood is maybe more of an assessment on kind of the volatility of each candidate's potential prediction. And then you're dealing like with a second order concept of if this, then that, and if that, then this. And it's just very difficult to make any meaningful decision based on that chain of events.
You're right. And one of the key differences between the Trump and Biden positions too, that we got to think about here, is that Trump, because he's an idiot, and Biden, because he's losing his mind, is how the administrations will act. So Trump has been embroiled in a bunch of controversies. He can't do anything without the media all over him. He can't hide anything he's doing because a small little like molehill becomes a mountain in the media, which is good because it shines lights on all of his insanity. But at the same time, he can do these smaller little tiny little things that aren't necessarily part of his administration, that are actually then hidden because he's got all these things that he's doing himself personally that's shadowing everything. So like, what is Kushner doing right now? Right? We have no idea what the chief Middle East, you know, negotiating whack job is doing in the Middle East because Trump is sucking all the air out of all the rooms. So his administration that was bumbling forward, they can't actually get anything done or passed because they're completely insane. Where Biden has been in policy or has been in political positions for 40 years, so he can possibly get something done. And the scary part then is he could probably dismantle a ton of institutions very coherently without us really knowing it. So the question then becomes, as a worker, who do you choose, or do you choose anybody at this level?
From a worker perspective, or just kind of from any perspective, it's voting for Trump should not be an option. You should in no way, shape, or form consider voting for Trump because he just is fundamentally wrong at so many levels. He's willing to gaslight on anything. He doesn't care about anybody, basically. Now, whether you want to vote for Biden is kind of your choice. We talked a little bit about LGBTQIA issues earlier, and Biden's absolutely better on that, whereas Trump basically wants to kill everybody from that segment. So from a harm reduction standpoint, there are absolutely reasons to vote for Biden.
The hard part for us when we discuss all this is that being that we're on the left, we are severely disappointed not only with the Democratic Party, but also with, you know, anybody that even champions themselves to the left, because they spend their time, you know, with all this infighting. And so again, I hate to say this, but the federal level has a lot of pros and cons. And right now, I don't know if voting for anybody at the national level actually affects the outcome that much. Voting for your senator, your representative, voting for your state and locals, that's probably the biggest impact in your life right now.
Focus on voting locally where it does matter. If you want to care about this election, you should devote all of your resources, not at the federal level, but at the local level. So like, if you're going to go door knock for Biden, like that's a total waste of time. But go door knock for your local like state senator. That's a good use of your time.
Yeah, there are a lot more things at the local level, like, you know, just your county taxes, what they're used for, that have a bigger impact on you than anything else. And does your state offer unemployment that matches what you need? Does your state, is it a right-to-work state versus not a right-to-work state, right? Those things you can affect at your state and local level. And at the federal level, you know, the institutions are being, you know, attacked right now, but it's really hard to know whether or not they'll be protected with a Trump or Biden presidency.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.